track.
The southern female voice track?
The southern female voice track.
Well, that's crazy.
I am way too loud.
Hey. You're talking crazy now.
Oh, no.
Don't be silly.
Oh, no. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it's the end of TFCon. Aaron has to go to bed in like half an hour.
When it happens, it happens.
It's Sunday night, I am here, I am Vangelis. That's Aaron. Say hi, Aaron.
Hi again.
And returning for the third time to our podcast, which he has said he wouldn't recommend you listen to, it is none other than Derek J. Wyatt and his amazing mustache.
Hello, everyone. I'm a little sleepy.
Are you feeling peppy?
Yes! I'm awake now! That was all an act.
Oh, man. I have that power. So, today was kind of the cool... When it comes to TFCon, Saturday is the powerhouse do-everything day. Mm. Sunday is the 80s Toy Expo that's sort of happening at the same time, and a whole bunch of us are just stuck in the customizing class for most of the day. But it was still pretty eventful. Unfortunately, I missed one of the panels I was really jazzed to check out, which was the panel with David Kay and Eric Bauza, but...
It was a good panel.
I finally got to meet Eric Bauza for about 2 minutes.
Eric is awesome.
That guy is cool.
He is great.
But, Aaron, yes, you've got to drive off in the morning.
Yes. If it's like the drive here, it'll end up being 12 hours in vehicle or so. So, that's why I was...
Ouch.
People were having a good time at the bar, and I'm like, I hate to do it, but we got to go record something so that we hit every day.
We're doing it for you.
And, for you, dear listener. And then as soon as that's done, I'll be sawing logs, and people will be going back down and partying. And hopefully they won't have that much fun without me, because I know I was the life of the party.
Dude, the party was not the same without you there, except that you were there the whole time.
Everybody got a little sad, I think, when you left the room.
Yeah they were like, where's our Indiana spunk going?
Proto Man is going to try and hook me up with some of the Mugenbind toys that he showed off at his the Truth Behind GoBots panel, because I saw that and was like, oh, those are so cool. I'm glad they're not out in the U.S. And he's like, well, you know that there's a shopping center downtown. What time are you leaving? Oh, probably first thing in the morning. Can you hang around until 10 o'clock? No.
Oh.
Yeah, no. I'll see if I can talk to Mrs. in to stop him there. I'm like, please.
Yes.
And, Derek, you were telling me that you had quite a miraculous deal. So let's see. You came to the convention with a portfolio and and X amount of money.
Right.
Now, at the end of the convention, you have a portfolio, a whole bunch of stuff, and X plus Y amount of money.
Yes. I did all right.
How does that work?
Well, some stuff, and some people bought some stuff, and then I took that money, and I bought stuff with it.
That's a good plan.
And it was great.
What was the best of the stuff that you got?
Oh, I think that Skeletron, the Action Force Red Shadow Skeletron, is... I've been looking for one of those things for a while, and it was totally cheap. It was like, I think the Red Shadow stuff I bought was 3 for $15 or 3 for $12.
Really?
Very nice.
For UK Action Force?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So I got two Red Shadows, Troopers, Skeletron, and some other guys.
Was that the Joe dealers that were in, like, the hallway?
Yeah, the hallway stuff.
Okay, I saw that they had a bunch of stuff, and I know virtually nothing about G.I. Joe other than, like, Yo-Jo. That's something that they do or something. I don't know. Seth McGill.
Oh. Don't they sometimes play with the Transformers, too? I think they live in the same world.
In the comic books, they tend to. In the toys, we've been told many times, that will never happen. But
well, I don't know, because I know the Resolute Snake Eyes is writing Animated Prowl
at
this very moment on my desk at work.
Nice. Yeah, all I have to really report that's interesting is that the customizing class was a billion times smoother than it was last year. I'm transforming my custom now.
You got stickers, like real
Repro labels and DAC. He didn't just cut them for me. He then detent cutted them to, I don't know how to better to describe it, to fit the contours so they wouldn't peel up.
Pretty fancy pants.
So I'm going to transform it to show you guys the robot mode. So,
I can't wait.
Derek, Aaron.
So what was that custom made out of?
This was... Oh, that's very true. I should tell you guys. I should also stop touching the paint. But this custom was made out of a Chevy Avio Swerve. Those of us who went to the custom class were handed one of these and then told to disassemble it and start painting it.
Aren't those things like $80?
Yes. Where else? But at TFCon, can you receive a highly sought-after figure, cut it up, start painting it, and as you're waiting for it to dry, because you won the faction feud, head over to the registration desk and pick up another one.
Whoa.
Yay. That's what I did. Aaron has one over there, too.
I just pulled mine out.
Pretty cool.
I don't know what I'm going to do with the second one. I think we mentioned bids in a thread.
Yes.
Between mine and Gabby's and maybe yours.
Yes, we're going to try to convince the listeners to spend triple digits on us.
Hey, it'll work, because I got some very good deals on things, but realized, hey, I'd like to have money in the checking account at home.
Mm. That could help. Derek, I forgot, do you have one of these yet?
I do. I think someone hooked me up last year at TFCon.
Okay.
Because they were... Is this another one of those things that was easier to get in Canada? Like,
well, this is one of those things where in this city, you could, for a week, get one just by doing a survey.
Oh, wow.
And then it turns out that there was some surplus. Sorry, this paint is actually still sticky.
Tacky a little bit.
Yeah, there's this tacky, I think, alcohol paint, whatever it is. Ethyl, whatever. But yeah, in Canada, these things were, you had to like fill out a survey, and then you'd get one until they ran out of their allotment for the day.
Were they available at all in the U.S., or like how did that...
No, they were not available in the U.S. Because wasn't originally like in China, if you did a test drive of whatever the Aveo was, or there was some weird... If you did a test drive,
you had to test drive the car, and then they'd give you one. And then Chevy's UK site, don't worry, this is supposed to happen.
That's right.
Ball joints.
Chevy's UK site sold these online to anybody, but the problem was they were considered to be car parts. So you had to pay car part taxes on them.
Wow.
So for a while, these things have a sordid, long, confusing history.
The first, 5 months, 6 months or so, they were going on eBay for almost four digits.
Yeah. They were going nuts on eBay.
Because I believe the initial legend was you had to buy the whatever, it's not an Aveo in China, but whatever they were calling it in China. The original legend was, I believe, that you had to buy the car and then you got the toy.
Does he come with a tech spec at all, or does he have any personality at all that we know of?
He's G2 Flash.
Oh, right. I guess I meant Swerve. Sorry.
Oh, Swerve, no. And in fact, we don't even know what line he belongs to. He's a very strange mix of movie one and classics.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very confusing toy, and I've decided that he's part of the Alternity. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yes.
Well, what isn't part of the Alternity?
Exactly.
Cliff Jumper.
So, Derek, I forgot, did you do any panels today, or were you just doing autographs?
I just did autographs today, and then I went back into the dealer room, and I don't even think I sold stuff for very long. I was mostly buying stuff in the dealer room today, so.
Yet you still have more money than when you came here. I am... If I could express how financially jealous I am right now.
It worked out pretty well.
Well, I know what my method for next year needs to be, is find whatever's just come out in the U.S. and bring it up by the truckload and get people to buy that, because there were silly, silly prices on...
I heard a funny story.
Tell us a funny story, Evangelist.
There was one local place that got a crate of Generations, and on Friday they were selling them for $20 a piece. And when they realized that they were getting basically butt-rushed by the entire population of the hotel, they threw a carpet on top of the box and said, no more sales. And then the box returned on Saturday, and everything was marked $30 a piece, and all sold out in about an hour.
Wow. So they never got to go to 40, huh?
Not yet. there were some crazy... Like, anything yellow box in the dealer room was insane.
Yeah. Didn't Big Bad have yellow box stuff?
They did, and it was kind of insane.
What was it, like 35 for the repaints? Or was it 30 for the Voyager-size repaints?
I saw a couple people get Sea Sprays.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, there were probably just like a case or two's worth.
Well, the thing is, Sea Spray's, I believe, two in the case, and then its payload is one... And what's the third?
Is it Buttload?
No. Knight Attack Rescue Ratchet the Third.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
This, by the way, is what the dude looks like.
That is pretty cool. So he's... Is all the blue areas that wears...
Yeah, we repainted. All the gray is actually like a dark blue. And then there's a lighter blue on parts of him, which is the sticky part. And there's some green on the pelvis, and the head is totally...
And the stickers are all metallic, shiny, really cool.
Yeah, and he's designed basically to go with the BotCon set.
It's pretty nice.
So I'm jazzed, because I actually had Flash when I was a kid as
did
well.
Did you do the BotCon customizing?
No, I didn't make it in. That one, I asked some people. There were people who tried to get into that like 10 minutes after it went live, and it was already booked up.
Yeah.
That, I mean, G2 Sideswipe pretty awesome.
Perfect looking guy for the set.
Man. I know there are a lot of people who are taking it too hard, but I'm still a little bit twitchy about how.
Well, that was Ryu in their panel.
No.
When they said, they asked, well, how many people here would be interested in buying a G2 Sideswipe? And every hand in the room went up.
Yeah.
It was like there was just a sudden uplift of air of people moving their hands up. And then it was... I don't remember if they asked assembled or by sprues, but I'd almost like to have the sprue experience. If it weren't for the fact that Hasbro gets worried about, well, if then you have the sprues, it's a lot easier to...
You know, it was really funny. What day was that? What day?
Wednesday and Thursday.
That panel?
Sorry. I think
panel
I meant the
panel was Friday.
Okay, because seriously,
maybe that was the early panel.
I remember that day just sitting at my desk, and for some reason my hand shot up in the air.
Okay,
so like I have no idea why,
you heard a voice somewhere in the distance.
Yeah,
G2 Sideswipe.
Speaking of stuff that once was thought to be unobtainable. You know, sometimes you have things where you can't get them because they're hard to get. Mm. Sometimes you have things where you don't get them because you don't think you're ever going to want to get them. Mm. And if you glance behind you there, you'll see something I didn't think I was going to get until I saw it on the floor for $30.
Why would you not want to get this?
I never saw it on sale, ever.
Really?
Never. I only ever saw it for full retail.
I don't know if I could love anyone who doesn't own this toy.
Oh, man. Like, okay, do you want to see what freaked us out? Do you want to see what freaked me and Aaron out? Because we didn't know he did this.
Yeah.
Okay, watch this. Watch his mouth, okay?
Yeah.
And now watch his mouth sync with this.
Yeah.
My name is Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that's pretty beautiful.
That is amazing.
Like, hello, little tiny David K.
Man.
Well, David, in his interview with us, talked about how when he walks past that, he hits that button.
Yeah, he pushes over to her.
Yeah. He was mentioning that when they had to record the clip for that, it's kind of funny how they'll give him a long line, like, I'm Optimus Prime, and then tell him, okay, you have 1 second to say it, because it has to fit on the chip.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's really funny.
For the toy recordings, apparently you have very limited amounts of time to deliver pretty long lines because of the limitations.
That's such a cool toy.
Oh, man, this thing, it took me... I tried to do it without instructions and somehow had trouble.
Really?
I didn't understand how the mechanism worked.
Doesn't that transform by itself?
Well, you're supposed to roll it 90 centimeters along the floor. And I thought it wouldn't take that long, so I was like, maybe mine's broken. He's barely transforming.
Yeah, he turns around, what, 6 times, 5 times?
7, I think.
7?
7 or 8?
Did you count?
He counted.
Well, it was on the bed, and I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6...
That's
maybe.
I think it
may have been more to get that last step so that his mouth plate will jiggle in time.
Mm-hmm.
But this was my least expected but happiest purchase, I think, of yesterday. Even though there's a lot of cool stuff I got, somehow this thing was just so satisfying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a big piece of plastic, and it's pretty... Did we ever actually say what it was that we're talking about?
That's a good idea. Yeah. The big ass animated Supreme Prime.
Okay.
I've been in the bar. I'm sorry.
roll out
and command Supreme Optimus Prime.
My big thing last year was, or one of them was, somebody found me an Activators Cliff Jumper, which was nowhere to be found anywhere in LA at all.
It was nowhere to be found anywhere.
Anywhere. But apparently, I saw a bunch even still in the dealer room, you know, over the weekend, so...
Well, I think that's, again, a case of where that last wave or so of a line in the U.S. always, you know, shows up in 3 places, and at Kohl's or something, or your Kroger grocery store, just because nobody orders them because they're all shelf-warming.
Well, I had literally never, to this day, I've never seen that thing in the stores.
Yeah,
me neither.
Yeah. No, I guess I did. I did see it in Kohl's.
Oh, you did?
But after I had somebody that I guess had another store where they managed to get a bunch of them, and I had it shipped to me, and then I was trying to kill time while the wife was shopping and trying to decide, is this being remembered? And I was like, oh, I'll go over and look at the kids. I'll go over and look at the kids. Yeah. And I'll go over and look at the kids' toys, and it was like, there's Activators. There's Cliff Jumper. I need to buy... No, wait, I already have... I need to buy... No, I don't. I already have one.
I need to. I just got to say that my mom loves Kohl's. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay.
Shouts out to Kohl's.
From my mom.
So, Derek, given that you were selling stuff, I got to ask, did you sell that Megatron head picture?
No, I didn't.
I was wondering if someone was going to...
That was my most expensive. I was selling some layouts that I have from Animated and so, since season one, Megatron was the head, there were very, very few drawings of him because he was a stationary background element, and even less so because we we only got layouts from a few episodes. And so I asked 200, but I didn't get it. Yeah, no takers on that one.
I was wondering, because I think it was a legitimate chance that someone was going to pay that. So
that was a reasonable price.
That one in the Prowl and Lockdown with the city background and everything, I thought that was really nice. So I'm not upset that I didn't sell that, because in some ways I think I priced those like that because I wasn't sure if I wanted to sell them or not.
That's what happened with the guy. There was a guy at BotCon who had the four Action Master Supremes in like C12 sealed condition. And so he priced the foursome, only the foursome, for $1,900. Wow. And I talked to him for a bit because I told him I love those things. And he says, like, I priced them like that because I could use the money, but at the same time, I don't want to sell them.
Yeah.
So he's like, I want it to be, if I have to sell them, it's going to be for $2,000.
Yeah. Do you know if he did sell them?
He never sold them. And I kept checking on him. And at the end of the day,
what's his name and number?
I can't remember.
Think he would want to trade for a Megatron layout?
Well, that Megatron layout, this is worth $200 out of my portfolio. Give me that $1,900.
That doesn't work very well. There goes mine.
I did enjoy my purchases from your portfolio, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed mine.
I got the two. I got to remember that they're called layouts. For some reason, my head just defaults to cells, even though they're very clearly not cells.
Right. Well, this is the what would have been the first stage of a cell. You know, it's drawn on animation paper, and then in the older days, they would put the cell over that and ink on the cell, and then color the background. But since we still draw on paper nowadays and animate, do all the animation on paper, but then we've gotten to a level where we can color on the computer, and this is saves a lot of time and money, but it's also kind of the cell paint has a limited amount of colors, and now with Photoshop it's nearly infinite as long as the TVs can support the color we have. So
I was very pleased with them also, because two of them were Optimus Primes, even though because I didn't want to be a dick about it, and there were a lot of people there who won. There was an Optimus Prime I liked that I passed on to someone else, and there was a Ratchet I liked that I passed on to someone else, because I was getting an Angry Archer, a Prowl, or another Ratchet, and two Optimus Primes.
Yeah.
And those two Optimus Primes I managed to get signed by David Kay and this fine gentleman I met called Derek J. Wyatt. And I enjoyed them quite a bit, and one of them is going to go to my mom.
That's nice. Has David met your mom?
I think he did. I do know. Actually, I do know for a fact David Kay's mom met my mom, and they talked about us. And
That's creepy.
I don't know if they talked about us because we're in trouble.
Probably.
But I think at that Q&A, I told David Kay about it on the microphone, and I said if he wants to come over and play Super Nintendo.
Your mom says it's okay?
It's totally cool.
Yeah, Prime went fast, and Prowl went fast. I sold out of both of those.
Those Prowls were all good.
Yeah.
They were all good
shots. It's hard to... A lot of them were from Homer's Where the Spark Is, and it was just hard to find a bad drawing in that lot, because that show was... I think to this day, it still is... looks like the most like my drawings of any animated show I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was really cool, and it was fun flipping through. Like at first I saw you with it on Friday, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to buy anything, but I'll have a flip through it. And I was like, I want to have a flip through it again. And I was like, I couldn't find anything at the parts party. I want to buy five of them.
He actually did get this crazed look, and he was scratching at himself. I need layouts.
Yeah, well, first, it was that, and I was like, need the layouts where it's the angle down, and it's from the top down, and they're looking like they're stepping forward. That's what I need.
And ordering a cheeseburger at the drive-thru.
Yeah, speaking of parts party, no Brave or Galgaigar this year?
No, my friend BigDonkey14, though, got something that looked like
Wait a minute. What?
That's his name.
Okay.
On the internet. He's a young man from Britain who is like 18 feet tall two inches wide.
Taller than Hydra?
I think so.
Wow.
But he bought this thing that looked like a Brave knockoff of these three trains that combine, and they all had like Mexican wrestler names, and then their combined mode was called the Loco Commander.
Wow.
And I signed the box.
I did not see that.
I'm not sure where he got it, but there was very little Brave.
Yeah,
There was a lot of non-Transformers-y stuff. The weirdest thing I got was... Hang on. Get over here.
As he's strangling himself with the headphones.
I got this big-ass plastic red gun. From the series Madan Senki Ryu Kendo. Don't ask me why I know that.
Some nice chromey crummy gold bits.
This was one of Takara's last hurrahs before they merged with Tomy. This was their attempt to get in on the live action superhero franchises that Bandai and Tsuburaya Productions are all into. Well, Toei and Tsuburaya Productions, and so the whole idea of this was they were dudes in armor who fight the evil minions of Dr. Worm.
What?
And they put on armor by sticking keys into these weapons. There's a guy with a sword and this guy with a gun. And their weapons are powered by dragon AIs. So they stick the key in, and then the AI turns into a huge CD dragon, armors them up, and then their guns or their sword talks to them a whole bunch.
I have two questions. Have you seen this show?
Yes, I actually have the whole series.
It's pretty rad?
It's okay. I haven't finished it yet. It's a lot kiddier. Then a lot of, like, this live action stuff, oddly enough, is some of the less kiddie kids stuff in Japan, but this one is very, very kiddie.
My second question, isn't Dr. Worm a They Might Be Giants song?
It could be. Dr. Worm has a great actor in this show. I only remember because in the opening, he just has this one moment where you see him, he's like this purple man with white hair in like a robe with huge poofy sleeves and a magic wand and a skull cap. And in the opening, he's in this badass position where he's like casting a spell and you're like, this guy looks freaky. And then in the first episode, he goes through this series of comedy routines, which completely nullifies him as a badass, but makes him incredibly entertaining to watch.
Wow.
But these also had Microman, as Derek pointed out on the way up.
I think I was thinking of a different one though. There was the one with all the girls that they're sort of, Power Injury and different colors.
Right. They come with the CDs.
Yeah. So this was something before that then.
This predated that.
Huh. I really got to check out the toys then.
This was from a table. There was an older guy, and I swear he did not know what he had, but he even had something from Gatai-O, which was another Takara property that was like, Takara basically did a creative spasm right before they went bankrupt, where they tried everything to try to get a grip. And one thing they did, aside from this, that's when they did Web Diver, that's when they did the sequel where it was a video game system.
They had a new Microman series.
A new Microman series, and they had Gatai-O, where the whole gimmick, it was literally just, in a box, you get three tracks, like three separate tracks, you have to line them up on a little map.
Oh, I remember those.
And then there's a huge fire truck and two little ambulances, and they all drive forward, they transform as they drive forward, and then they link together and keep driving and turn into a robot. And it's like, it was a really cool idea, but it was nothing past that. And it was kind of neat seeing all that, because that was all from several years ago now, but you know, you see the logo on the front of the box, it just says Takara.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, like that's actually a bygone era now.
Yeah.
But
that was a pretty cool era of, you know, they threw everything against the fan. And
exactly. Their last hurrah had some of the, like, you know, a lot of people will say ugly toys, but to me it was like, you know, yeah, they weren't aesthetically sound, but they were creative as all hell.
Yeah.
So today really for me was just like the customizing class in the dealer room. Proto Man apparently had an excellent GoBots panel.
Yes, which I had a signing during. I didn't get to go to that either.
Oh, no, that was a very good panel that I got to watch. It was more, it wasn't like, hey, the GoBot show was really, really cool and you just didn't realize it. It was, wow, the GoBot show really, really sucked, especially when you look at Machine Robo, which is what all the toys came out of, and how Bandai in the show, they were really serious about scale. So all the toys that came out were exact scale.
Yeah, but did Psy-Kill have stubble? Did he have 5 o'clock shadow?
No.
Yeah, come on.
No, Psy-Kill was actually the leader of a group of five that went into those power armored. Power armored guys, the suits.
Yes.
Right.
Puzzler. He was.
The power suit guys.
No, it was the power suits.
It's the four suits of armor, which are basically like a stick, and then the jet that turns into like a robot with no legs or arms.
What is that called? That's not Puzzler? What is
Puzzler? Puzzler's like six cars.
Oh, okay.
Puzzler's nemesis, the monstrous one.
Yeah, yeah.
That one in Machine Robo was called Devil Satan 6, and he was the villain, by the way.
But and I'm really bad because I don't remember these names.
Was one of them.
Jet was one of them. No, but the guy that was really the leader was a cyborg.
Rom. Yeah.
And then
Space Knight?
He would combine he would combine into the torso of another guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, hey, stuff's getting serious here.
Yeah.
And then he'd kick butt, and then if that didn't work, then that guy would combine into the torso of an even bigger guy.
That was Rai something and Bai Kung Fu.
Yeah.
I only know this because Bandai put out a really fancy toy of it a couple years ago.
But cool. The great thing is that little figure is to scale with all the other guys that came out. And he it was called the Series 600 because the target price was 600 yen.
Hmm.
And so that's the smaller guys that were the standard GoBots. Well, this dude that's inside of the dude that's inside of the dude, all of that articulation works all the way through. And for 19, I think he said it was 81, he had like full, he had very heavy articulation as a die-cast toy.
Wow.
Elbows, wrists, shoulders,
yeah,
hips, knees, ankles, and all of that through. Because as you'd move the arm, if you took the arm and you put him out in arms to the side position, you could count the set, you could count the layers of toy. Jeez. Going through.
It's like sounds one of those awesome. Those Russian dolls, basically.
Nesting dolls, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a three-layer nesting doll of super
and,
robots.
And it was just cool to see that. And you know, Proto Man's whole deal was, you know, these toys could have come out in the U.S., but Hanna-Barbera, when, you know, Tonka came and said, hey, you know, we want these to come out, and Hanna-Barbera came up with their idea for what they thought it'd sell.
Which was rad.
Which...
There are a few parts of GoBots I will defend. I got to admit.
I think I just like it because it's like I don't know, some weird. Here's my real reason. I just wanted to see them, the GoBots, compete on Laugh Olympics against the Yogi Yahoo's and the Scooby Doobies. You know.
Yeah.
what I'll defend about GoBots is Crasher and Psykill's voice. Psykill had one of the most underrated villain voices in the 80s, because that dude, everything he said was a loud soliloquy.
Yeah.
No matter what he was doing.
But a lot of the panel was just showing, you know, what the original show was, and that it was a very layered, I think you said it was like 72 episodes.
Wonder why they didn't just bring it over and dub it then.
Apparently, what Aaron communicated to me was that Hanna-Barbera kind of got a little bit of pride about it and went like, we can do this better.
Like, look, you guys, we've done the Smurfs. We know what we're doing.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that was Hanna-Barbera was, I mean, how did you beat the old Hanna-Barbera cartoons that I remember, you know, that I thought that were my cartoons, and, you know, you talk to your parents, and no, they were their cartoons,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of the old, like, Yogi stuff and things like that. How do you beat that Hanna-Barbera? And then it turns out, well, they were, you know, how many years past their prime, and they were still on the coast.
That initial Hanna-Barbera stuff, there was a lot of real amazing artistry that went into that stuff, and it just, I don't know.
But then he continued on to some of the other things that have happened since then. And then it ended up being the Mugenbein stuff that, you know, I was talking about before, that's their current.
So is that Bandai, Mugenbein?
Yeah. Bandai. It's one of the many toy licenses Bandai has. They've still been pushing Machine Robo all these years, trying to...
Well, like, then the funny thing is that I didn't quite realize is, do you remember the first round of Universe Wave
I know this
3,
one. Yeah,
Machine Robot Rescue that got put on Ratchet, Autobot Ratchet.
This was confirmed at a BotCon without it being confirmed in words, that the reason they put Machine Robot Rescue on one of those Universe Inferno or Ratchet, Inferno or Red Alert, whichever it was.
It was on the two of them.
Yeah, on the two of them. They put that on there specifically to prevent Machine Robot Rescue from coming out.
Because Hasbro was concerned because this Machine Robot Rescue, which was the new
Bandai Transformer
Bandai property, was scaring them, because that was in kind of a lull period where they were trying to shake out the new ideal, and by doing that, because a lot of the stuff was done in English already, and it was just like waiting for somebody to say, yeah, we'll put that on the air.
Wow.
And by doing that, they got in the block, and apparently Machine Robot Rescue is still to this day. I'm always afraid of using trademark copyright because people
Monzo
in the room.
It's a protected term, controlled by Hasbro to keep them from releasing it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So this is that's funny to me though that Transformers really became a big success because of the, you know, the way Americans treated the property, and it went back to Japan the way we reinvented it. And so GoBots came over and it kind of did the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was invented and vaguely successful in Japan. It was designed to try to beat out Gundam, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was fighting Zeta Gundam.
Wait, but Bandai is Gundam.
it was like they were competing with themselves almost. Like,
well, I wonder how much of that was also, was it all Bandai TV property
Bandai does own the toy licenses for competing TV properties. So, like, they own the toy licenses for Super Sentai, Kamen Rider, and Ultraman. Mm. And Super Sentai and Kamen Rider are a different television production company than Ultraman. So, it's weird. Bandai has their
fingers. But the toys can cross over, then.
Yeah, they can, exactly.
Oh, man, that's good. That's all that matters.
That's right. Then you can have Ultraman versus Lockdown versus the Power Rangers, and you're all set. But yeah, that's the only panel I can really think of that was of super note today, aside from the voice actor one. And I heard that one was really informative, lots of good questions.
And funny, apparently, too.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Man. I hope someone... Evan said that he hasn't taped, so maybe it'll be on the DVD next year.
Yeah. There were a lot of really good, focused questions about dealing with stuff. One guy asked, hey, is it really worth it to be in the union? You know, what is it that you really get out of that? And they went into some of that stuff. Well, no, because I guess there's like the three different phases of non-union and kind of semi-union.
Are you talking about the Screen Actors Guild, or are you talking about Canadian stuff?
I'm not sure what he was saying, but I think it was the SAG.
Yeah.
But it was like, well, you know, when you're full on, but then again, you can't go out and hit everything because of the way the union, you can only have so many something. Or I don't know. They were throwing out industry terms that I vaguely recognized and...
Pretty sure that
12 hours later in a state of sleep deprivation, I can't quite recall, but...
Yeah, I don't think we can use any non-SAG actors at all. Right. I mean, because we wanted to, in Animated, we wanted to try to get Scott McNeil to do Waspinator and Rat Trap, or Rattle Trap. And I think we looked into it, but I can't remember exactly. There was some either union or legal issues.
Right. There's something about him working in the States I always hear about. And
federal warrants.
I don't know. I mean, he was at BotCon, right? Yeah. So it's not like he can't go into the States.
Well, no, it's not that we wouldn't even need him to go in the States because we could phone patch him.
That's true. It's true.
So it was some other rule, law, union thing that it prevented us from.
And one reason why I really wish I could have caught that is apparently someone brought up demo tapes, and that's something that's always just stupefied me. Mm-hmm. The science of the demo tape.
Yeah, it was the advice was to keep it under like a minute and a half.
Yeah,
to just do like your whole range of stuff, you know, little kid, old man, crazy alien, and then you know just to show that you can go high, you can go low, you can go in the middle, you can come up with these different ideas. And then also, if you're going to have any other specialty stuff, to put it after that. Mm-hmm. Because odds are a place is going to get 100 demo tapes and have to look through all this stuff. And if you put your gem at the end to lock them in, they're not going to get that far if you're starting out with Donald Duck impressions. And okay, yeah, whatever. And then also the other thing was to be tech savvy. You know, don't send an old reel-to-reel. Don't send a cassette tape. Don't send an 8-track.
Really?
Some places, and I believe David said, you know, some places you don't even send a CD. Or if you do send a CD, it's just a data CD with the MP3s of it on there. Or you send a flash drive because that's the cutting edge of technology, and these guys don't want to have to go and dig up an old reel-to-reel.
Yeah.
You know, if you make them work for it, they'll say, okay, next.
Did they talk anything about having an agent or working for an agency? I know that's a big part.
Another question that I believe the same gentleman that asked about union stuff. He asked that question, and it was definitely have an agent. And in this day and age, since you can phone things in, you know, you don't just have to have an LA agent. You know, you can have a Toronto agent. He had a couple of odd centers. I think Denver is a big place now for some like commercial work, and there was some place in the South. And he said that you know you can kind of represent yourself. You know, if you have a blog or something like that, where you can put some work up on, and you can do a lot of the shopping, and keep your name all around everywhere. But he said, ultimately, you know, you've got to end up in one of those centers because, you know, if they call up and say, hey, can you do Leno tonight? Because he had a story of, I think it was Leno, where their normal intro guy, the normal announcer, had some, like, sick throat issue. And they called him up and said, hey, can you go do Leno? And David said, yeah, I can be there in like 15 minutes. It's like, okay, well, apparently you're the preferred backup person, so you need to go down there and do that. And so, like, if you're in, you know, Australia or even in Canada, it's not like you can go, yeah, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
I can add to that story.
Oh, dear. Oh.
David canceled lunch with me to go do that.
Oh, big time.
I know.
Oh.
I was hurt. But, you know, it is the Tonight Show. So I forgive him.
So you, did you tell him I'm bigger than Leno?
Yeah, hey, come on. Did you know?
I think, you know, another thing I was going to say, too, is, you know, when you're talking about the centers and where they do that stuff, I think that it also relates to what kind of voice acting you're doing. If you're doing commercial work, if you're doing animation, I think you need to be probably in LA, you know, that's the, mm-hmm. unless you're doing, I don't know what the state of the Canadian animation industry is right now.
That's the kind of thing I should probably know, but don't.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that like in your backyard?
Kind of.
Yeah, where's Nelvana? Are they, they're still around.
I think it's all out of Vancouver, as far as I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't, it's my backyard, but there's a humongous puddle between me and the backyard. So it's tricky.
I remember asking Sue early on, if we could have David Kaye try out. And she's like, oh, yeah, he lives in L.A. now. So mm-hmm. that was one of the factors. So,
yeah.
And especially if you're doing a series like we did, you know, you want them to come in and read ensemble. So
yeah.
And be able to do that.
It's just going off an earlier point Aaron made. Did you at any point want to have someone who could do a Donald Duck impression on Transformers Animated?
Well,
how'd you know Disney label was coming out?
Oh, man. I'll still work on that show, too. If I can figure some way to put Gizmo Duck and Scrooge McDuck in.
Disney yes. label, Scooby-Doo crossovers, Transformers.
Oh, yeah. Please. Hello. Yoke-san, please.
That's all I can really think of as far as today's. I mean, other than that, we went for dinner at Milestones, and we've just been hanging out in the bar.
Yeah.
And Canadian Slag did a recording with two microphones and 500 people.
Yeah.
All nice. Shouting at each other at the same time.
And there's 500 people in groups of 10
chunks,
different groups.
In chunks of three.
Yeah, having 10 different conversations going on within the groups.
If that one, I still kind of challenge that one's going to go live. But if it does go live, have a listen to it and see if you can spot the part where I do my little, my Southern Dandy bit. I was quite proud of that.
Where I got forced into profanity. They twisted my arm.
Oh, dear.
We don't swear here.
Those mother...
I think I talk about... Something about Alex Milne being manly enough to use markers where I was forced to color with a child's crayon.
Is that the
I saw that Ultra Magnus. That
yeah.
is awesome.
Is that the story of piece. Why I saw Mike walk into the London room while I was recording stuff with Evan and he had a gigantic tin full of crayons?
Well, that crayon, those were out in that public area out there for kids to color with, I think.
Yeah, oh, right. He told me that. Tables. I forgot.
And there was
yeah, you have that.
You're right. I recorded. I asked him about it. And he told me why. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they brought it over to me. And because I think it was Chris that was saying that. I was like, don't just give me a stupid head sketch like last year. And I'm like, all right.
Is that how he talks?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Hey, don't
be so stupid. So, so that's what happened. So I colored it with crayons.
Hey, it looks good. I mean. I'm always amazed by artists because I can't even draw a stick figure worth anything.
Somebody has got to get General Techno to show that Alex Milne did this lug nut.
I saw that.
Which was coolest thing I've ever seen. It was crazy.
The moment he showed me that, the first thing I told him was, you better scan that and put that on DeviantArt the moment you get home.
It was fantastic.
I was like, I know you paid for it, but guess what? You have the proper copy. Share that with the world, please.
I think it was supposed to be like a $40 sketch, but it looked maybe $120 worth of work went into it.
Yeah,
he couldn't stop himself.
When he told me he got a sketch, I was like, you know, okay, it's going to be a cool Milne sketch. But then he showed me the final product. I was like, what?
he said that Milne just kept going and going and going. He's like, no, that's not, I'll just a little bit. No, just a little bit over here. And
that's the beautiful thing about Alex Milne. It's like when he gets into something he's drawing, like he'll do sketches. He'll do really good sketches when you pay him for commission at his table. But if you suggest something to him that really catches his mind, he's going to be like, come back tomorrow. I want to like spend another 10 hours working on this because this is fun.
That guy's a beast.
Oh, man. apparently he can draw with his eyes closed. I don't.
Yeah, yeah. He told me one time that he can look up and have conversations, and the hand knows what to do. And then I cried inside a little.
The hand knows. Did he say, like, the hand knows what to do? Then a gust of wind blew through his hair.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Tumbleweed rolled by.
All right. Well, have you guys got any other final TFCon thoughts you want to share, other than like?
Did you get any? You weren't hardly in the dealer room today at all, were you?
No, I wasn't really. I forgot to mention that. Did I mention that I got something from Fort Mima yesterday? I forgot.
I think I got
this for $10 from the Mimas. And,
nice.
No, I did mention this because I got this and had no instructions. I said, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And then we were walking back to go see your panel. And on the way back, Ryan Mima, like, threw himself into my way going like, no! And I was like, what? Like, I'm kind of making this up now, but he did that. He stopped me, at least, and said, we found the instructions. And he went digging through this mountain of instructions, throwing them. Okay, and he just kind of, like, looked through a pile of them and pulled out the instructions. So
pretty cool.
No, because I just wanted to
mention. Oh, no, I remember what it was. Okay, Zero Edge. Sorry, Zero Edge. He contacted me on the boards ages ago and told me about this, and I forgot. Then I met him, and he said, here. And I forgot he was going to give me this, because he bought a lot of these, a lot of four, the three Gau Gaigar ones and this one, and he didn't want this one. So he just gave it to me.
What is that
That's
one?
Cool.
This is the Microman Chun-Li. I keep forgetting that the audience can't see
it. I could see it.
No, you couldn't.
I mean, I do probably.
We're not in the same room. This is just like the normal podcast.
And he also gave me two novels, which he said were really good, and he liked them and wanted to pass them on. So I have the two Mass Effect novels. So now I have to read these because they were given to me to be read. But
well, I just wanted to mention my BotCon Cyclonus that I picked up from 2002. It's a BotCon. That's the first proper BotCon that I made it to, and I wasn't a pre-registrant. It was kind of like a last-minute thing, and I ended up getting CAT scan, but never had gotten that one, and of all the other here and there and around things I'd picked up, I never managed to get that one. There was one in the dealer room I kept walking by and looking at. I'd walk back by the other way and look at it, and then I had Proto Man, and I'm like, can you... you know, help do some magic, because I hear that you have that,
he's
that ability.
That. Oh, my God.
And he went and he looked at it. He's like, well, the tape's open. It's obvious this has been opened. I mean, come on. You can't expect 80 to the dealer. And the dealer's like, I can't really go anywhere. I can do 75. He's like, oh, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. 75. And the dealer looks at him like, are you a dealer or something? Oh, your staff? Fine, 70. And then he just, like, tosses me the box. Okay, just give him $70. I'm like, very you could have been more subtle about this to the dude, but all right.
I went trying to find a headless hose head for the little red snake headmaster thing I got a Bok on. Mm. And I took Proto Man along with me because he knows more about G1 toys than I do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, help me pick one of these out. So he picks out one that's in perfectly good condition. It says $15 on the tag. So he walks over to the guy. He says, okay, now watch and learn. I'm like, what? He walks over to the guy, puts it in, he's like, I'll give you 10 for this. The guy says, okay. And then he just turns to me and goes, like, give him 10. I was like,
that's great.
I go, like, what the f-?
It's an odd power. The wallet was already in your hand. The tense. Why? How did you do that?
It's like, you know, Proto Man, he's a puppeteer. Yeah. He starts working the strings, and then everyone around him is doing what he wants them to.
He looks like Dana Carvey.
He does.
Yeah.
And the dude can sing Car Roboto. Anyway, this kind of wraps up our TFCon. I mean, overall, TFCon, I loved it. But, you know, I won the faction feud, got a free swerve, got in the customization class, and got to read for my favorite animated villain ever in the script reading. So,
who's that?
Corey Burton's Megatron.
Ooh.
And you can also probably see that on my YouTube channel, because I'm going to put that up hardcore.
What?
It's true. I'm not going to gush about that. I can gush about how cool that was for quite a while. But yes. that was
I've
okay.
Heard it.
Okay. Just
multiple
one.
Multiple times.
You know, that was like being the
I
city.
Had a signing.
That was like being the city all over again. That's how exciting that was. Because after it was done, because I was totally casual and I was totally, totally fine. And then the moment it finished, I got completely nervous. I was like, I haven't had that happen for a while. So I'm completely biased, I admit, when I say this was an awesome TFCon.
Well, I will say this. I was a TFCon virgin. And yeah.
Oh dear.
You just work it slowly.
Messy.
However, I do believe now that this will be a repeat as long as, and I've told all the staff guys that were really seriously asking me, as long as there's not like a, you know, something else going on, you know, the Friday and Monday I'll take off and just power through the drive and hopefully find a better port to try and make my way through so it's not 2 hours, but TFCon will be a repeat occurrence for me.
It is a fun, you know, kind of not huge con, and I don't like the huge con, so it's a real plus for me. And then the 80s Toy Expo stuff is amazing. It's, you know, LA, we have, if there's any toy shows, the older toys are just jacked through the roof, crazy prices, and everything's totally reasonable here, and there's so much stuff, and stuff I hadn't seen in forever. There was, you know, great Micronauts selection, and tons of Ninja Turtles, and just crazy weird stuff,
yeah,
you know.
Did you see those giant Ninja Turtles?
Yes, I did, and the giant Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yes.
I was like, I don't even really collect Ninja Turtles, and I was like, I kind of want those.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot of cool stuff. It's like a great museum experience.
It's like a melting pot almost of things that you forgot about, and then not only do you see them, but hey, guess what? You can buy one too.
Yeah. Well, it's cool too because you have Friday and Saturday, buy all the Transformers you need,
yeah,
and then go in to, you know, buy your mask or whatever, you know. It's like
buy a luchador mask if you want.
Yeah. There was a dude that was selling like freaky contacts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was across from one of the tables. I had no idea what it was until towards the end, and I looked at it, and I was like, oh, no, they're special contacts. I'm like, can you get them a prescription? Oh, no, I can't.
And
then my thought was, I'm not going to buy something that I'm going to put in my eye.
The Saudi cosplayer had those blue contacts.
Yeah, I had to do a couple double takes because it was like, wow, that's perfect eye color.
They were bright blue, too. Yeah,
they
like
were
glowing almost.
Some of those cosplayers, again, like, you know, BotCon had a lot of cosplayers, but TFCon's cosplayers cannot be beat. I mean, like, I saw Sari walk by, and I was like, hey, that's kind of as cool as that Bumblebee. Then I saw the Bumblebee, and then I saw that Black Arachnia.
Yeah.
And I was like,
oh, that Black Arachnia.
Well, Bumblebee and Black Arachnia are the same one, right? The same
really?
Girl?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm mixing up today.
So
with,
she has, And
no, she was just that fast of a quick change.
Those are both amazing costumes and probably the best Transformers cosplay costumes I've seen.
Those were the ones, that Bumblebee one, I remember that I've always told, it's the one that made me think I was on an acid trip. So I was like, there's a cartoon walking around.
Totally.
And the same thing
it's
almost
perfect.
Happened with that Black Arachnia, because I looked, and I was like, what?
So on model. It's crazy. Like they've stepped off the page.
Yeah, it's like, say what you want about, you know, hey, those cosplayers are crazy, but you know, when you see...
And they are.
They are. When you see dead solid cosplayers like that, you know, even if you think it's kind of silly, you cannot try to tell me that is not legitimately awesome stuff. I mean, it was amazing. Anyway, we should wrap this up and head back down and make sure people are not dead.
Yes, we better check on them.
Yeah.
Aaron pass out.
Let Aaron pack and get some sleep. And then I'll come back up here at 4 in the morning like,
hey,
what's
up?
My mind went to sleep a long time ago.
So thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks, Aaron, for being a good roommate and manning up and getting up at 7 in the morning every day. We did.
Good Lord.
And thanks, Derek, for coming by and joining us again. It's always good having you on.
Thank you. It was fun.
And thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. TFCon out. Well, actually, you're going to hear this like a week after, probably, but TFCon out anyway.
Bye.